All right. Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all. I will be talking about extraordinary women and the small things that count. When I became a mother, it was right around the same time that I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So during that time, I had a son and got married and had two stepsons. And I felt like it was my job as a mother to pour Christ into them. And so my life verse has been Deuteronomy 6:5-9. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When I think about this, I think about as I grew up, I had a grandmother who was in church and she took us to church and she showed us what Christian living was. I also had a mother who showed us what giving was about and loving the neighborhood and loving the people that were surrounding you. And so I grew up in an environment where really fostered me to love people. And as I think about how God wants us to be, I realize that I had two women in my life that poured into me on two different ways. And those ways were showing me what God would have me do as a woman, as a mother, and as someone who just loved people. And so I look back and I started to think about all the different things that I learned from the women in my life. And there was many women that showed me many things. And I thought, today is Mother's Day. But it isn't always just the mothers who pour into people's lives. It's all the people that surround them. It's all the people that are around them. Every person has a role to play in a child's life. God has placed that child in your life for a reason. Today, we will talk about women in the Bible who played a significant role in their children's life or in a child's life or even in a person's life. These women just lived their lives how they knew that they should. They didn't do anything special. They didn't do anything that was different, but they did things that they thought they needed to do for that person in their life. They did not know if that person was going to be great or do great things. They didn't know if they were going to be a part of Jesus' story, but they just did what they knew to do. They loved, they did what they thought was right. And because of their contributions to that person's life, God was able to use them in many mighty ways. The first person that we're going to talk about are the three ladies in Moses' life. Moses had three people that played an important role in his childhood: his mother, his sister, and Pharaoh's daughter. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now, a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at the distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. The baby was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of water." During this time that Moses was born, it was during the time when Pharaoh was having all the Egyptian men children put to death. And so she had to hide him because she knew that if he would have been seen, he was supposed to die. And she said she didn't want her son to die. So she did what she thought she needed to do, and she hid him for 3 months. Now, I can't imagine trying to hide a baby from people for 3 months because babies cry, they make noise. And so she had to have been terrified for her life, terrified for her son's life, but she did it. She sacrificed and she made sure that she kept him hid for 3 months. And then when she could hide him no longer, there was no way for her to do it. She had to trust God. She had to trust that this child was going to be placed and she placed it was going to be safe and she placed him in a basket. She placed him in a basket and placed him in the river. And that was her role. She kept him safe for those 3 months. But then his sister enters in to help him. And as his sister watched, she waited to make sure to see what is going to happen with my brother. Now, she could have been like, "I don't care," and go on and did whatever she was supposed to be doing, but she didn't. She cared about what was going to happen to her brother. So she waited and she watched and she seen that there was a chance for him to be saved. When Pharaoh's daughter seen that that there was a child, this was an opportunity for his sister to step up and say, "Can I get someone to help you with this child?" Because she wanted her brother to live. She wanted to make sure that he was safe. So his mother's hid him for 3 months. His sister watched over him while he was in the river until he got picked up by a person, Pharaoh's daughter. And then Pharaoh's daughter stepped in and offered to take him in. But she knew she couldn't keep him because he was a baby. He needed to be fed. And so that's where his sister stepped in and said, "Do you need me to find a woman to nurse him? Do you need me to find a wet nurse for him?" And Pharaoh's daughter was like, "Yes." And so now Moses' mother steps back into the scene and she's able to take care of her son, her baby, until he's old enough to be without his mother and need to be fed. Pharaoh's daughter raised him as her own son. So it gave Moses a life. And because Moses was not put to death, was saved, Moses goes on to be able to be used by God and to bring the Israelites out of slavery. But it only happened because Moses' mother hid him, his sister watched over him, and Pharaoh's daughter took him in. Those three women all did something that helped this person, helped Moses become the man that God had desired him to be. They chose to do the right thing in their minds, but they didn't know what the outcome was going to be. Moses' mother didn't know what the outcome was going to be for Moses. His sister didn't know the outcome. And Pharaoh's daughter surely didn't know the outcome. But they all stepped in and they did things to help this baby stay alive, which allowed God to use him. The next person that we're going to talk about is Naomi and Ruth. Naomi and Ruth. Naomi was a mother of two boys who married Moabites. They left Bethlehem because of a famine. And so they were living outside of where they grew up, and they were in the Moabites' homes. They married two women. Naomi poured into her daughter's lives. Her husband had passed away, so she had just her two sons. And they married the Moabite women, and they were together. They were married for about 10 years, but then the unthinkable happened. Not only did Naomi lose her husband, but then 10 years after them being married, her sons died. And so now Naomi is left with just her daughter-in-laws. Now, normally, when the sons leave and there's no heir to take the place, the women go back to their families. So I'm going to read to you Ruth 1, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. So this is after Naomi is asking Ruth and the daughter, asking Ruth to go back to her people, to go back to her parents, to go back to their home. And Ruth replies, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates me and you." That's strong. Now, this is a woman who didn't raise. Naomi didn't raise Ruth. She wasn't there when she was a baby. She didn't pour into her when she was a child. But she did have an effect on Ruth. There was a strong effect on her because Ruth said, "I'm not leaving you." Now, she could have easily gone back. Oprah did. She could have easily gone back and stayed with her family and lived a maybe a good life. I don't know. But Ruth chose to stay with Naomi. I thought about that and I thought, what did Naomi do that made Ruth want to stay with her? There had to have been something. There had to have been a way that she treated her, the way that she loved her, to make her not want to leave. Ruth was determined to not leave her mother-in-law's side. She was willing to leave everything she knew, her country, everything where she grew up with her family, her mother, and she was willing to go to a new land. She was willing to go to Bethlehem, which was different. But it was because of the impact that Naomi had on Ruth's life. Now, I want you guys to think about this because sometimes we think that when we're pouring into people, that we should be pouring into our children's life only. But remember, Ruth was not Naomi's, was not her biological daughter. Naomi didn't birth Ruth. Naomi didn't meet Ruth until she was married to her sons, but she still chose to pour into Ruth's life. And because she poured into Ruth's life, Ruth said, "I'm not leaving your side. I will go with you. I will be with you." Now, these two are going back to Bethlehem. Naomi had no idea what was going to happen in Bethlehem. Therefore, Ruth had no idea what was going to happen in Bethlehem. They could have been homeless, they could have been just begging for food. They didn't know what was going to happen when they got there. But Ruth trusted Naomi enough to say that I'm going to go with you. I'm going to follow you. And because she did, in Ruth chapter 3 and chapter 3, 1 through 5, it says this. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with those women you have worked with, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley from the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but do not let him know you are there until he finish eating and drinking. And when he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. Verse 5. I will do whatever you say," says Ruth replied. I find that interesting. She said, I will do whatever you say. Ruth trusted Naomi with everything that she did. And because she did, Ruth ends up being in the lineage of Jesus. She ends up being one of the women in the genealogy that's reported that she's a part of Jesus's lineage, a part of his family tree. If she would not have followed, she would not have been a part of that. But she followed and she did it. Because of the relationship between Ruth and Naomi, Ruth became a part of Jesus' family line. I think that that's amazing. I think that that's amazing because Jesus was a savior of our world, and she got to be a part of that lineage. She got to be a part of something that was way bigger than she would have ever known. But because Naomi poured into Ruth's life, as an adult, Ruth said, I want to stay and I want to go where you go. Are there people in your life that God has placed in your life that may not have been your biological child? They may be adults. Did God place someone in your life to pour into? Hi, Jeff. Eunice and Lois. 2 Timothy 1 and 5. It says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. This is Paul talking to Timothy. This is the only part that you hear of Eunice and Lois in the Bible. But because of the impact that Timothy has, and because Paul knew of the grandmother and the mother and their strong faith in Jesus Christ, they poured that into Timothy. And because of that, Paul says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, your sincere faith. Because of his mother and his grandmother pouring into him. Paul speaks on how he believes that Timothy got his faith because of them, teaching them the teaching that he received helped mold him into the man that he became. So we talked about different women that poured into people's life. Some were part of the life as children, some were a part of the lives as adults, some happened to what would be what you would say was adopted into a family. All of these people, all of these women poured into someone's life to make something that they didn't realize was going to happen, but they poured into their lives because they loved these people. They wanted to do right by these people. So the thing that I wanted us to talk about a little bit is how does that look in our life now? We don't know the impact that we have on other people's lives that are in our life. But those impacts can be great. The little things that we do, the things we do when we pour into people can be a large impact on the greater good. When we think about how someone became a pastor, how someone became an evangelist, how someone became just helping people from the needy, the poor, the lost. It starts with someone pouring into them first. I think about myself and how people poured into me. I think about my husband and how the church poured into him. I think about how, because of those things, we are able to go out and we are able to love people. My mom loved big. I remember as a child, people always coming to our house and always wanting to have a meal at our house. And she never turned anyone home away. She always welcomed people into the house. And I think about my house now. I don't have a problem with people coming to our house and feeding them. But it's something that I grew up seeing. It's something that I grew up knowing was okay. It's good to invite people to your home. And so those are things that I got from my mother. And I it's not that you think about it when you're doing it, but you realize that as I've gotten older, there's a lot of things that I do is because of what I've seen people in my life do. And so as you're thinking about these things, I want you guys to think about that. What are you doing to help people in your life? How are you pouring into them? Next slide. All of these women played important roles in these people's lives. They didn't know the future. They didn't know what they would become, who they would become. What they did know was that these people were a part of their lives right then and right now. These women chose to love, sacrifice, teach, and trust God. You never know who you're entertaining in your home. You never know why that person is in your life, but God does. And because you're sitting in this place now, you believe that God has a plan for you, I believe, or you wouldn't be here. So if God has a plan for you, He also has a plan for the people that are in your life. The children, the person in your life that God has placed there, what are you going to do with them? Are you going to pour into their lives the teaching of Jesus, the sacrifice, and to trust God with them? These people in your life may not have been born to you. They may be born to you. They may have come to you in your adult life. But you need to think about how can I influence them? How can I love them? How can I pour into them? Look at your circle of influence. How do you need to pour into them? Who do you need to pour into? We all need to pour Christ into someone. If you're a mother, a grandmother, a dad, a grandfather, or just a friend, whoever God has in your life at this moment, pour Christ into their life. You will never know how God can and will use them. So I leave you with these questions. Are you going to pour into life's love and teach about Jesus, sacrifice, trust God with them? God has a plan for all his children. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity to pour into your children. To love your children, whether they're young, old, no matter what the age is, you have placed people into our lives to be your hands and feet, Father God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be the hands and feet in this world. Help us, Lord Jesus, to love the lives that you placed in our lives, to pour into them, Lord God, to sacrifice for them, Lord God, and to trust them, to trust you with them, Lord God. Knowing that you have a plan for them, Jesus. Father, we thank you for each and every mother that is here, Lord God, for the mothers that are going to hear this, and for the people that are going to hear this. Challenge us, Lord God, to love those people, to look out at our circle of influence, Lord God, and show us the people that you want us to pour into their lives, you, because you can make a difference in their life. We don't know, Lord God, what you'll do with their lives, but Lord God, we know you can do something with it. So help us, Lord, to love and to pour into their lives, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.